Good morning and welcome to the Morning Report. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. It is Thursday, August 6th, and for the next half hour, we will be bringing you news from the Worcester TNG along with other local news services. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. This is Carla coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester. We are heading over to the phone line so Bill Ruggiero can tell us about the weather. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, everybody. Well, welcome to another day of heat and humidity. It's going to be like this through the early part of next week. And we do have a heat advisory from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday. So let me give you the latest weather forecast. And we do have chances of showers and thunderstorms through the morning and afternoon. For today, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a spotty shower or thunderstorm this morning. Then probably sunny with more thunderstorms later this afternoon, and some could be on the heavy side with drenching downpours and hail and high winds. Highs today, 88 to 92 degrees. For tonight, it goes down into the lower 80s with warm and humid conditions. And it could be a spotty thunderstorm after midnight. Lows will be near 80 degrees. And the outlook for Friday is going to be the same thing as today, but a little more impressive heat and humidity. And I'm hearing the heat indexes are supposed to be 99 to 100 degrees today. So if you're out there, drink lots of water and keep cool. And the weather for the weekend, it's going to be cloudy, warm, and humid Saturday with thunderstorms. And we do have a chance of thunderstorms on Sunday. Not as warm, but more humidity. And then we cool it down Monday and Tuesday. And then we warm it up again Wednesday and Thursday with chances of showers and thunderstorms. And, folks, that is the latest weather forecast. Now back to you, Carla.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate all the information, even though I don't like the humidity. I like knowing about it. Thank you so much.
I know. Oh. I know. I don't like humidity either.
Oh,
but
gross.
You know.
All right.
Well, what
can you do? Well, you have a good day today. We appreciate you, Bill.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our top story on the front page today, Neighborhood Divided Over Chandler Street Roundabouts, written by Rachel Gow for the Worcester TNG. Tensions are flaring over a Chandler Street project that aims to replace two of the artery's intersections with roundabouts. A scattering of yellow placards standing out against the lawns of Worcester's west side have proliferated in recent months, reading, "Stop! The Chandler and May Street Double Rotary." The project, which has been almost a decade in the making and comes after much concern about the corridor's safety, is a year off from an anticipated summer 2027 start. It concerns a roughly 1,000-foot stretch of roadway on Chandler Street, where it intersects with May Street at two points. The lawn signs are only one piece of a broader effort by a group of neighbors to push the city to scrap the plans before construction begins. A petition requesting the city halt the project has 1,000 signatures, according to organizers Greg Waters and Alan Gordon. The pair negate the state transportation agency's claim that roundabouts make roadways safer and take issue with the construction timeline and the temporary and permanent easements the project requires. In what is becoming an increasingly contentious issue, their campaign has sparked a reaction from walk and bike activists and parents of students at nearby schools who have begun distributing their own lawn signs with a link to information about the project and encouraging residents to voice their support to city government. Our next story, Michigan Democrats Vote to Shake Things Up, written by Susan Page for USA Today. The divide between Michigan Democrats was so tight that it took a dawn to declare the winner. The morning after the August 4th primary, leftist insurgent Abdul El Sayed finally claimed the Democratic nomination in the state's crucial Senate race, riding a tide of younger and disenchanted voters to defeat establishment choice Representative Haley Stevens. But the closeness of the contest against the centrist Congresswoman, more competitive than statewide polls had predicted, did more to underscore than to settle the fierce debate about the direction of the party and its prospects in November. As votes were being counted, El Sayed urged his supporters to begin to mend fences in an effort to defeat Republican Mike Rogers in November. However much we might disagree with our Democratic opponent, there is so much more that unites us than divides us, he said. Uniting the party may not be easy, though. His victory, after an onslaught of opposition spending by outside groups, was a rejection not only of Stevens, but also of the power brokers who had lined up behind her, from Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York. Instead, Michigan voters narrowly decided to shake things up. Just 3 months before Election Day, Michigan's contest stood as the most significant test to date of whether the Democratic prescription for the midterms this fall in the presidential election in 2028 should focus more on appealing to swing voters in the middle or on energizing new voters on the left. Lawmakers say Massachusetts now has strongest immigration protections in the United States, written by Margie Cullen for USA Today Network. Federal immigration officers are now banned from making civil arrests in Massachusetts schools, hospitals, and courthouses, along with a variety of other measures under a new law, given the state what lawmakers say are some of the strongest immigration protections in the country. Governor Maura T. Healey signed the law known as the PROTECT Act August 5th in response to the Trump administration's aggressive immigration enforcement actions. Massachusetts has seen an increase in immigration and customs enforcement arrests in Trump's second term, including high-profile cases like the arrest of a Milford High School senior and of a Tufts graduate student. Federal immigration agents have also fatally shot several people this year, including recently one man in Maine. We know that what ICE is doing is wrong and it needs to stop. We know who we're speaking for, a dad, a landscaper on his way to work, a mom going to daycare for pickup, a father placed in a chokehold while holding his child, a 14-year-old girl used as bait to lure her dad, moms ripped from their cars while kids are watching. Healey said at the bill's signing at the La Collaborativa in Chelsea. Chelsea has a high population of foreign-born residents, according to census data. She called the act public safety law. The signing also comes as ICE agents are reportedly seeking 249 parking spots in Boston. In an emailed statement, Healey said they cannot allow ICE to have the parking spots. The PROTECT Act was originally filed by the Black and Latino Legislative Caucus. Legislators announced that they have come to an agreement on the bill July 29th, and it then passed both bodies July 30th. It passed the House 137-21. The law takes effect immediately. And our last story on our front page, judge's gift-giving attempt leads to sentence being tossed. Written by Brad Patrician for the Worcester TNG. A Boston federal judge recently vacated the 18-year sentences of a Worcester couple convicted of sex trafficking Following revelations, the Worcester trial judge tried to give a gift to the victim at sentencing. Moises and Kirsten Soto have not been released, but have been returned to Massachusetts for detention pending a hearing on a new trial, records show. The Sotos were convicted of trafficking a woman across New England following a six-day jury trial in September, overseen by Worcester's federal judge, Margaret R. Guzman. Prosecutors alleged the victim, who testified at trial, was badly beaten and abused while being trafficked by the couple into prostitution from February to May of 2022. Guzman, at a hearing in January in which she imposed the 18-year sentence, had staffers pass prosecutors an envelope addressed to the victim, who was not present during a break in the proceedings without the knowledge of the defense. Prosecutors later told the defense they opened the envelope after the hearing had concluded to find a bracelet and several seashells along with a card with a supportive handwritten note from Guzman. The defense, after the prosecution's disclosure, requested the Sotos' sentences be vacated and that they be granted a new trial. Guzman's gift, which an expert told the DNG, raised serious questions about impartiality. The defense argued, evidence of a bias they claim infected her trial rulings. We are moving over to the local news. Top story on our local page, Worcester health leaders scramble to figure out how to handle TPS end. Written by Henry Schwann for the Worcester TNG. Seema Dixit doesn't know the full extent of the impact in Worcester since the end of the temporary protected status for people from Haiti and other countries living in the United States. Dixit, the city's Commissioner of Health and Human Services, told the TNG that she has been meeting with City Manager Eric DiBattista, Mayor Joseph M. Petty, and local health care leaders to strategize on how to handle the shockwaves resulting from the end of TPS. Dixit does know that Worcester is a diverse community, so there will be consequences for New England's second largest city. It will have an impact on those who are working because they will not be allowed to work anymore and they'll need to go back. And the residents who may need to go back overnight because they become illegal, says Dixit. In a 6-3 ruling in June, the U.S. Supreme Court paused prior rulings by federal courts in Washington, D.C. and New York that stopped Trump administration from ending TPS protections for nationals from Haiti and Syria. The vote gave the green light for the White House to remove protected status July 27th for hundreds of thousands of people living in the United States temporarily who escaped stark realities back in their home countries. Congress created the protected status in 1990, and it had applied to Haiti since 2010 when a devastating earthquake rocked the country. The designation was reapplied in 2021 after the country's president was assassinated, plunging Haiti into gang violence. The Trump administration claimed TPS was no longer needed because the situations in Haiti and Syria had improved so visitors could safely return. Reports indicate gang violence continues its grips on Haiti. Moving on, police allege drunk truck driver hit their cruiser, written by Craig Seaman for the Worcester TNG. Sturbridge, a tractor-trailer driver was charged with drunken driving after his rig struck a parked state police cruiser at the Sturbridge Barracks, according to state police. Troopers arrested Timothy Dorsey, age 50, of Pensacola, Florida, in the parking lot on the evening of Monday, August 3rd. The cruiser was unoccupied. The impact pushed the cruiser onto a curb and into a light pole, according to the state police. After his truck collided with the cruiser, Dorsey circled behind the barracks in his truck, allegedly attempting to leave the scene, according to state police. He was arrested. He is charged with drunken driving, leaving the scene of property damage, and negligent operation of a motor vehicle. Troopers observed that Dorsey was unsteady on his feet and had glassy eyes and detected an odor of alcohol on his breath. He is due to be arraigned in Dudley District Court. McGovern Auto Group expanding to historic mill in Uxbridge, written by Craig Seaman for the Worcester TNG. Uxbridge. Newton-based McGovern Automotive Group recently bought the historic Rivulet Mill complex, adding to its automobile dealership and repair empire. July 13th, McGovern Auto Group purchased the property at 44 Rivulet Street for $3.3 million, according to the Worcester Registry of Deeds records online. The 131,000-square-foot facility will provide double the production space for McGovern's MHQ's truck equipment operations, located at a leased site in Oxford. The operation will transit to the 18.8-acre Uxbridge site. In the western part of North Uxbridge, the textile mill was built in 1814 alongside a small stream called Rivulet. In the beginning, the mill manufactured satinets, broadcloth, and cassimere. With one set of machinery, according to the September 26, 1922 edition of the Worcester Telegram. In the 1860s, Richard Sales, a graduate of the Uxbridge Academy and a prominent member of prominent Pawtucket, Rhode Island family, purchased the mill with Israel Southwick. Southwick and Sales produced woolen machinery and rented the mill for the manufacture of knitting yarn. We are moving on to today's obituaries for Thursday, August 6th. William M. Bill Killeen, Hadley, Whitensville. William M. Bill Killeen, age 82, passed away on Wednesday, July 29th at Bay State Medical Center in Springfield after a period of declining health. Born in Natick on December 13th, 1943, he grew up in Worcester until age 10 and then moved to Whitensville. He was a graduate of St. John's High School, and following graduation, he enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1961, proudly serving for 3 years as a Specialist 4. Throughout his military career, Bill also served for many years with the Massachusetts National Guard in Whitensville before re-enlisting in the United States Air Force in 1984. He retired in 1989 with the rank of technical sergeant. His military service afforded him the opportunity to travel extensively with assignments in California, Wyoming, New York, Italy, Thailand, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Germany, and Vietnam. Professionally, Bill worked in administration for Life Alert and later for UMass Medical School. As a lifelong fan and scholar of music, specifically from the 1950s and 60s, he shared his passion by working as a DJ for 60 years. In his free time, he also enjoyed golfing and was an avid reader. A deeply devout Catholic, Bill belonged to the Knights of Columbus, Council No. 365 in Whitensville, and for many years attended several parishes throughout his life. Most recently, he went to Most Holy Redeemer Church in Hadley. That is William M. Bill Killeen. Charles Joseph Genovese, Holden, Worcester. Charles Joseph Genovese, age 102, of Worcester, formerly of Holden, died on Monday, August 3, 2026. A 1942 graduate of Holden High School, Charles entered the United States Armed Forces in 1943 as a soldier in the Regular Army Air Corps during World War II. He was attached to the 24th Technical School Squadron. Upon his discharge from the Army, he attended the New England School of Accounting and graduated in 1946. For over 72 years, Charles was employed by the Maroney family as an accountant, first for the Maroney Petroleum Company of Worcester and then for the Wachusett Country Club of West Boylston. Since 2004, Charles served as a dedicated volunteer at the Notre Dame de Lac Assisted Living Center in Worcester, where he was a minister of Holy Communion, the leader of the Holy Rosary on Wednesday afternoons, and one of the operators of the in-house store. In 2005, he was elected Volunteer of the Year by the Massachusetts ALSA for his compassionate and devoted services to the residents and staff of Notre Dame. That is Charles Joseph Genovese. John J. Monahan, Rotunda West. John J. Monahan, age 73, passed away at his home in Rotunda West, Florida, on June 22nd after a long illness. Born in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, John was the son of late Arthur and Mary. Upon his retirement, he moved from Massachusetts to Florida. John graduated from Our Lady of Providence Seminary and earned a degree in journalism from the University of Rhode Island. He devoted his career to journalism, specializing in environmental and political reporting. His work took him on several reporting trips to Ireland and Russia, reflecting his curiosity and commitment to covering issues of international significance. John spent more than 30 years with the Worcester TNG, beginning as a general assignment reporter before becoming a political reporter and later running the city desk at the Massachusetts State House. He retired in 2014 after a distinguished career marked by integrity, dedication, and excellence in reporting. Throughout his career, John received numerous honors for his journalism, including the Environmental Merit Award from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in 1997 and the Outstanding Environmental Reporting Award from Clean Water Action of Massachusetts in 2002. That is John J. Monahan. Carolyn A. Frost, Auburn. Carolyn Ann Frost, age 83, lovingly known as Cal by many, passed away peacefully in her sleep at home August 2nd. Carolyn was born on December 7th, 1942. She will be deeply missed by her loved ones and all who were blessed to know her. That is Carolyn A. Frost. Raymond J. Brickhalt, Sr., Millbury. Raymond J. Brickhalt, Sr. died peacefully after a brief illness at age 89 on August 2nd. For the full obituary, please visit mulhane.com. That's Raymond J. Brickhalt, Sr. And finally, Ryan Boutelier, Millbury. Ryan T. Boutelier, age 38, passed away on the morning of Saturday, August 1st, with family by his side. Full obituary can be found at mulhane.com. Ryan Boutelier. Moving over to the Worcester Guardian, National Night Out brings Worcester community together. Residents, police, and community organizations gathered at Fuller Family Park for Worcester's annual National Night Out celebration. The event was organized by the Worcester Police Department and the Central Community Branch YMCA with the help from the Worcester Fire Department and other local organizations. Police Chief Paul Saucier praised officers Angela Lookwai and John Allaires, who organized the festivities and highlighted the partnership between police and residents that are the premise of the nationwide event. We're here to listen to you, to work beside you, and to do whatever you need to get done to make sure we have a safe community, he said. U.S. Representative Jim McGovern said he was pleased to see the turnout. This is what community looks like, he said. When people come together and care about each other and want to create a safe place for their children to grow up, it is really a testament to this city's vitality that people have come together to get behind this cause. State Senators Robin Kennedy and Mike Moore also lauded support for the event. "It's not just about tonight," Kennedy said. "Tonight we're highlighting our community. It's what's happening every single day when we're listening to our community, when we're hearing what our community is calling on us to be doing, and when we're doing better because of it. I think this is what makes Worcester a great community. Everyone works together, from the government to the nonprofits, realizing that we have to be there as one resource for everybody," Moore said. District Attorney Joseph D. Early said, "One would rarely see as many officers in one place unless there is an emergency. Truly, the best way to fight crime is prevention," he said. "Police are in the schools. We do the work in terms of bullying, harassment, protecting our elders. We do the work with the sheriff's office all the time with the opioid crisis. These are things that work. This is a night that we recognize especially the people who have chosen the noble profession of policing. Too often it's criticism. It's never what you see when they're all relaxed and they're smiling." You've been listening to The Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Archived editions of this program are available on our website. This has been Carla. I hope you all have a great day today.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
When my dad started to lose his vision, we were worried. Sure, his doctor gave me and my mom some handouts, and I did my fair share of research. But we had no idea how much of a challenge vision loss would be or how it would impact his quality of life. That's why I was so glad we discovered Mass Commission for the Blind. They work with my dad, and they will work with you and your loved one as well to develop future plans and new skills and assistive technology. They even helped Dad get access to talking books and newspapers. He was so excited.
If your loved one is blind or visually impaired, find out if they are eligible to register for services. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB.
Hello. A lot of people are familiar with various assistance programs that provide support for folks with disabilities, money troubles, or food insecurity. But did you know there's one organization which does good work on all three fronts? Welcome to the Department of Transitional Assistance. The DTA serves 1 in 7 residents of the Commonwealth with direct economic assistance like cash benefits and SNAP food assistance, as well as workforce training opportunities. Those served by the department include children, elders, and people with disabilities. And despite the misconceptions you might have heard, many of those who receive benefits from the government work regularly and are gainfully employed. The DTA mission is to assist and empower low-income individuals and families to meet their basic needs, to improve their quality of life, and achieve long-term economic self-sufficiency. The DTA assistance line is open from 8:15 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. That number is 877-382-2363. 877-382-2363.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of Central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in Central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.